Welcome to the North Rock Church Podcast. For more great content and updates, visit northrockchurch.com. Enjoy the message.
Well, good morning, North Rock. How are we doing this morning? Are we good? Hey, I would like to just take another minute since our video timing was off. Can we just have all of our veterans stand for a moment? We'd like to honor you and thank you for your service. They're upstairs, yeah. Thank you, John. Appreciate it. And with that being said, we are in our series called Lord of the Harvest. And today I get to talk about what it means for us to work in the harvest, okay? And so last week, Pastor Andrew did a great job in introducing us to this idea of being a harvest people means to partake of the harvest promises as covenant people. You guys remember we talked about that, about the covenant? What it means that Jesus has covenanted himself with us, that the gospel, the great news of the gospel is that he has given himself to us. And because of that, we are his people. Amen? And so it's from that lens of transformation of remembering that it's Jesus who secures our identity, right? That in him, we are made whole and we are made a part of his great harvest, right? And the harvest promises to go with it. But as part of Andrew's introduction, I felt kind of sad for him because he said he'd never seen a harvest. He's a city guy and he's never seen this. See, I have family out in Kansas, and so I've seen lots and lots of harvests. But I have to admit, I don't know any more about it than Andrew does. And so I brought us a time lapse video of a harvest being brought in, just so we can kind of frame it. All right, so let's go ahead and play that. All right, so there you go. Now you've seen a harvest, right? You're welcome, Andrew. Are you happy about that? Hey, the reason that I used that video wasn't just because of the fun music and because our theme of our series is Lord of the Harvest, but it was to illustrate the point that we're going to be talking about today, and that is that the great harvest is there. Amen? That according to the scripture, the great messianic harvest has begun. We agree on that, right? And just like in that video, it was there. The harvest was in the field, but it had yet to be reaped. It had yet to be collected. It had yet to be, done. And it takes considerable amount of work in order to bring in that harvest. Amen? So we're going to talk about work as the blessing that God intends it to be in the harvest, and how we might contribute and participate in that today as followers of Christ. All right, so let's pray, and we'll dive into the scriptures today. Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you that you are Lord of the harvest, and that we are part of your harvest. And so, Lord, as we sit here today, Lord, we don't sit as a collection of individuals. Lord, we sit as a collection of your people, Lord, that we are a covenant people, and we have covenanted with you as you covenanted with us to be the expression of your life and body in this world. So thank you for that honor. Thank you for your word. Lord, we pray that your word would not return void. We know it doesn't. So we pray that as we listen to your word, as we read your scriptures today, Lord, that you would transform our hearts. Lord, you would cause us to live into who you've said we are. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So my first point is simply this morning, is that Jesus is Lord of the harvest. He is Lord of the harvest, and it is his harvest. And in Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 through 38, it's interesting how these messages come together for me, because I had all the intentions in the world of just using this one passage and teaching out of these three verses, and then you get to study and you get to see in everything that God's word says about this idea of being workers in the harvest and what the harvest is, and I ended up with a whole bunch of extra scriptures. So I hope you brought a pen, because we're not going to be able to get into all of them. I'm not going to be able to teach through all of them, but I want you to have them, okay? But this is the core text of what we're talking about today. In Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 through 38, it says, Jesus traveled through all the towns and the villages of that area, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. I'm going to pause right there. How many of you are thankful that Jesus is our great healer? Right? That's part of who his ministry is, and it's part of the expression of his ministry through us. In verse 36, it says, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and they were helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And he said to his disciples, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest and ask him to send more workers into the fields. Okay, so I think we can all track with that just a little bit. There's a basic problem that's pretty obvious in this text, right? Is that the harvest is great. The harvest is amazing. The harvest is incredible. And there are too few of workers for that harvest, right? Now, can you imagine just the harvest that we saw on that video right there? Just one person trying to do all the work that brought that in. Right, they worked from day to night with all kinds of people driving the combines, people in the trucks, people in the loaders, people standing around having coffee. It looked like they had a coffee break sometime in the middle of that, right? But it took a whole group of them to bring in that harvest. And that's the basic problem. The harvest is great. The workers are few. But have you ever stopped to just consider that question? Like, why, Lord? Why are there few workers in the harvest? You ever pause and think about that? Yes. April has. But I think part of why that's the case is addressed in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 19 and 20. I'm going to read it real quick to you because I think it gives us some insight into this dilemma of a great harvest with few workers, okay? Oh, my. Says, and if our hope in Christ is only for this life, we are more to be pitied than anyone in this world. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. He is the first of the great harvest of all who have died. And in verse 23, it says, but there is an order for this resurrection. Christ was raised as the first of the harvest. Then all who belong to Christ will be raised when he comes back. So sometimes I think it can be as simple as we just get our eyes off of the ball. Sometimes we can forget with all the many, many things that try to vie for our attention and try to vie for our energy, try to vie for the things that we want to see pass in this world, we can get a little distracted. Amen? Anybody besides your pastor admit that it's easy to be distracted in today's world? It's easy to get our eyes off the ball. It's easy to forget. Oh, wow, the harvest is great, y'all. The harvest is great. And to me, understanding this passage is critical to actually bringing in that harvest, to actually reaping that harvest, because what it tells us is that the harvest is here. The harvest is great. It's set in motion already. It's being fulfilled here and now, right? And since that messianic harvest is already in process, time is of the utmost importance. Amen. And the consequences of rejection are final, right? In other words, because Jesus is Lord of the harvest, there's a sense of urgency and earnestness that is a part of the new perspective of identity in Christ, right? So the second point that we're making from those scriptures is simply this, that Jesus is Lord of the harvest and we are his harvest, amen? In other words, he has rights and response, or he has rights over our lives, right? And we are sent into his harvest. So it's not just that we are his harvest, we're also sent into his harvest. Luke chapter 10 verses 1 through 3 says it this way. It says, after the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them, everybody say sent them, two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go, he told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Right? Doesn't that part of the text kind of do that screeching noise of when a record used to stop, right? It's like, yeah, send us. I'm sorry, what did you say about wolves? Right? Here I am, Lord, send me. Wait, wolves? Wait, come on. That that's not in there, right? That's not supposed to be there, right? Nope, it is, right? So what's the point? The point is simply this, that Jesus is Lord of the harvest, that he has authority over the harvest, amen? That we are his harvest, that we are sent into the harvest because Jesus is our Messiah. Not only does Luke, in that passage we just read, affirm Jesus' messianic identity, but he is careful to define the nature of that messiahship. Jesus is exalted Lord, right? Luke refers to it in just this one book in the Bible 18 times. He says, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. 50 times in the book of Acts, we read about Jesus being Lord, right? Lord of the harvest. And in Matthew Henry's commentary, they expound upon this idea of this great harvest that is here and now by stating this. It reads, Luke emphasizes the fact that the gospel is not only for Jews, but also for all people. Greek, Roman, Samaritans, and all others without regards to race or condition. Amen? It is not only for males, but also for females, including widows and prostitutes, as well as the socially prominent. It is not only for freemen, but it's also for slaves and others rejected by society, for the lowly poor, for the helpless weak, for the crucified thief, for the outcast sinner, and for the despised tax collector. See, these are all harvest promises, right? And this is what I know. This is what I know about the life that God's given to us, is that he's given us stewardship over our time and our energy and our resource and our focus as those in his harvest. Amen? And this is what we know about about God, is that we will reap a harvest of something, won't we? We will all reap a harvest. We'll all reap a harvest of something, okay? Galatians chapter 6, verse 8 through 10 says this, those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everything from that life, from the Spirit. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up, right? Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of faith. Key term in that was the family of faith, right? It's the reminder that we see all through the New Testament, all through the text that we've studied and we've looked at today, that there is a harvest family, right? That there's a perspective that's being transformed. There's an identity that is being transformed in us that is derived from belonging to the family of God and living as sent back into the work. So the question becomes, what is the work? See, I believe that a key transition point in the identity of our lives is to see ourselves first through that identity. That's what helps us move from a consumer orientation to a covenant citizen, right? The work is really leaning into the discipling that Jesus is doing in each of us. It's moving from receiving communion, as we did last week, to being communion in communionity. I know that's not a word, but I made it up. Communionity, right? Community, right? It's living as blessed and broken and given, right? That's what it means to do the work of God. No matter where we earn our paychecks from in this world, our job as citizens of the harvest is to lean into the discipling purposes of God in our lives, to lean into the Spirit's work in our hearts and in our lives. It's moving more and more and more into the promises as we read them, as we know that God has given them to us, right? Of living blessed and broken and given in this world. It's moving from I'm going to get mine perspective in this world, right? To I'm going to get him his glory. And what is rightfully his. I'm going to give him his. Trusting Jesus as both Lord and Savior. That's what a redeemed perspective is. It's the reality that our work isn't a four-letter word. It's actually a blessing and opportunity for us to grow in the discipling purposes of his life. So what's a disciple? What does it mean to work? What's a disciple? That's what we're going to spend just a few minutes on this morning, okay? Because I think they're really important in understanding how it is that we'll bring in the great harvest. It's really just that idea of working as worship instead of worshiping our work. You see the difference? Colossians 3:23 says, "Whatever you do, work at it with all of your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters." So what is our work? The work is discipleship. In Luke chapter 5, verses 27 and 28, Jesus gives a very clear and compelling call to join him in the work, right? And he just said two words to the tax collector, Levi there. He said, "Follow me." Two words. Follow me. The Greek word is theomai. Okay, that's mispronounced, but you couldn't do it any better either. Okay? Unless you're Greek. But it means follow me. And when you study it out, it simply means to behold. That our job, our work, is to behold Jesus. To stare intently. To observe with a desire. To observe for a time. To spend time with. To look or study closely. Why? Because our work is leaning into his transformation in our lives, right? Our work in the harvest is to simply be known by him and make him known to others. Our work is worship instead of worshiping our work. So why does it matter? Why does that matter in the harvest? Because this is my next point is simply that the harvest is revealed through us and it's recognized in us. It's Christ at work in his body. Romans chapter 7, verse 4 says this. And I'm just going to rip off a couple of these, jot them down, look them up later. We're not going to have time to teach into them. But it says, "So my dear brothers and sisters, this is the point." Aren't you guys glad there's a point to this message today? It's coming up. Write it down. It says, "You died to the power of the law when you died with Christ. And now you are united with one, the one who was raised from the dead. As a result, we can produce a harvest of good deeds for God." John 4:37 through 39 says, "For you know the saying, one planted another harvests, and it's true. I sent you to harvest what you didn't plant. Others had already done the work, and now you get to go gather that harvest." 2 Corinthians 9:10 says, "For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources." Amen? And then it goes on to say, "And then produce a great harvest of generosity in you." You see that? In you. The harvest is revealed in us. So you say, when will the great harvest come? The great harvest is here. The great harvest is being fulfilled. It's being worked out day by day as he produces a great harvest of generosity in us. And here's the final point that we're going to rally behind, and then I'm going to ask the worship team to come back up. It's simply this. The work isn't us. The work is him in us. In other words, Jesus is always at work in his harvest. Jesus is always at work in his harvest. Are we always aware of his work in the harvest? No. Are we always aware of the work that he wants to do in us and through us? No. But is Jesus always at work in the harvest? Absolutely. Absolutely he is. Through many, many different ways. In John chapter 5, verse 17, it says this, that in his defense, Jesus said to them, "My Father is always at work to this very day, and I too am working." So I want to close with James chapter 5, but I wanted to tell just a quick little story. Yesterday, as I was studying and preparing and getting ready for today, my youngest, Caitlin, said she wanted to go out in the front yard and play in the leaves. Anybody have big trees in your yards? And about this time of year, we find out what it means to have autumn, right? And so I'm sitting there, and I'm just letting her play around, and she starts, you know, playing with the rake. And so I tell her, hey, do you want to break those up and bag them? It will be fun. It didn't work. So I said, how about if I give you a dollar for every bag that you... She said, give me five. She's a negotiator, I'm telling you. And as we sat there and negotiated, she started to rake and she started to pile it up and she started to bring it all in together. And I got up and I started helping her and we just started talking about what it means to work, what it means, you know, what the benefits, why we work. And we bagged one, we bagged two, we bagged three, we bagged four, we bagged five, we bagged six, we bagged seven big bags of leaves yesterday. And you know what? My yard still has leaves in it. And halfway through it, her cheeks started to get red and her hair started to pop out and the fun started to go away and she started going, can we be done now? And I'm like, no, look, there's more leaves. There's more leaves. And she's going, Dad, we're not going to get all these leaves. Can I just tell you, we may not be able to get all the leaves, but that doesn't mean we're not called to participate in the ones that we can collect. Amen? Amen. That just as my daughter learned yesterday, we can get tired along the way, but God's word, which transforms, which redeems our thinking, is that if we will not get tired, we will reap a great harvest in due time. And how do we do that? What did the scriptures teach us today? They said, one, pray fervently for workers for the harvest. Can I count on you to do that? Would you pray fervently for the workers for the harvest? Would you invest seed or our very lives as blessed, broken, and given to see more people come to know Jesus? And would you work as worship to bring in that harvest? Can we commit to that, church? And in doing so, I want to just close with this passage right here. James chapter 5, verse 7 and 8 says, dear brothers and sisters, be patient as you wait for the Lord's return. Consider the farmers who patiently wait for the rains in the fall and in the spring. They eagerly look for the valuable harvest to ripen. You too must be patient. Turn to somebody this morning and say, you too must be patient. Take courage. For the coming of the Lord is near. Take courage, for the coming of the Lord is near. And I want you to reflect back and remember that combine. Remember those trucks. Remember the work that was being done to reap the great harvest. And remember that Jesus is Lord of the harvest and he's always at work in it. Amen. Let's stand and let's worship. Father, we thank you for your word to us today. We thank you that you thought so highly of us. That you not only gave your life to transform us, but Lord, that you entrusted us with this same calling. To be blessed by you, to be broken, and to be sent back out into our very lives. Lord, would you help us to lean in to hearing and following you as the way we think about work. No matter what we do to earn a living, Lord, help us to know that our job in the great harvest is simply follow you, and to do what you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Father, we just confess today we confess that there is no higher calling than being called sons and daughters of the King. Lord, we thank you that you have called us into your great harvest, Lord, that we are part of your great harvest, and that you are committed to fulfilling the great harvest. Would you just loud enough for your own voice to hear, would you just repeat back to him as a prayer the form of what we just sang? I'll go where you lead me, Lord. I'll go where you lead me, Lord. That's the work. That's it. It's that simple. And maybe you're here today and it's you've never had an opportunity to recognize that God's great love is compelling, that it's continuing to go forward, it's continuing to pursue you. And that the great news of this great harvest conversation is that he loves you. Not just he loves everyone. He loves you. And today you'd like to accept that free will gift that we're talking about today. The new life that Jesus offers. That we can begin afresh and begin anew by simply confessing him as Lord and Savior of our life, recognizing that he has great plans for you as his harvest. So if you've never prayed this prayer with us, we'd invite you to pray it. We pray it every single week here at North Rock because it's really the rally cry. It really is the covenant that Jesus has made with us. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, I invite you into my life. I believe that you died on the cross for my sin and that you rose from the grave 3 days later. I receive forgiveness for every failure and sin in my life and give to you the right to direct my life from this day forward. I dedicate myself to learn the scripture, living with fellowship with God's people, following you in water baptism. In Jesus' name we pray and we trust. Amen, 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 amen. Amen. Hey, if the Lord's done something in your heart this morning, can we give him honor? Can we give him praise? Can we give him a cry? Thank you, Lord. We bless you and we thank you for your goodness to us. Hey, just a reminder that we are having a baptism next week. You can sign up in the foyer or you can sign up online. Also, just wanted to say, if God's stirring something specifically as a work that you feel like he wants to do through you, we'd love to talk to you about that. You can go to northrockchurch.com, go to Team North Rock. And we would love to begin that conversation, or you can talk to any of our pastors here, okay? With that being said, if you need prayer for any need in your life, we'd love to pray for you. But if you prayed that prayer for the first time, I've got a gift for you. I want to talk to you about starting this new journey with Jesus, all right? God bless you. Thank you for being here. Have a great week.
Thanks for listening to the North Rock Church Podcast. For more information about our church and upcoming events, check us out at northrockchurch.com, or you can find us on Facebook or Instagram.